भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट 31 तम द्वदार्थमुलभ्य जगन्निवास स्तोत्रं निशम्य द्विजसः संस्तुवद्भिः छन्दोमयेन गरुडेन समयोमानम् चक्र आधु अभ्यग्यमद् आशुयतो गजेन्द्र Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. After understanding the awkward condition of Gajendra, who had offered his prayers, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who lives everywhere, appeared with the demigods who were offering their prayers to him. Carrying his disc and other weapons, he appeared there on the back of his carrier, Garuda, with great speed, according to his desires. Thus he appeared before Gajendra. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifically hints that since Gajendra was in such a difficult position and was praying for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demigods, who could have immediately gone to his rescue, hesitated to go there. Since they considered Gajendra's prayer to be directed towards the Lord, they felt offended, and this in itself was offensive. Consequently, when the Lord went there, they also went and offered prayers to the Lord so that their offenses might be excused. Krishna, so I seek the blessings of all the devotees. So this canto and this episode of Srimad Bhagavatam, they describe one of the topics called Poshanam, that is protection of the Lord, one of the 10 topics which is described in Bhagavatam. So today I'll be covering this topic in two parts. The first will deal with sufferings and how by taking shelter of Lord, we can get relief from that. And also secondly, the relationship between demigods and Krishna, and how demigods, they also accept themselves as subordinates to Krishna and offer prayers to him. So recently, after one of the Sunday feasts, a doctor friend of mine, he came to me and said that, I have some family friends and they're in a lot of problems. So can you please talk to them? So I was a little hesitant. I said, like, what can I do? So I asked him, like, what happened? So he told me that just very recently their youngest son, he left his body. And they were in major trauma and shock. So anyway, he was a close friend of mine, so I went to speak to them. So the entire family was there. And the father, he told that recently the son had gone with his friends, just 18 years old, to a picnic, and there was a river, and although he didn't know swimming, he thought maybe the water is shallow so I can just walk with my friends, and suddenly he tripped and there was one patch which was like a ditch and he drowned there. So the father was saying that we gave him permission to go, and we think it's our fault because we said you go, that's why he went and he lost his life. So we are so guilt conscious, we are feeling so guilty that we allowed him. If we would have stopped him, he probably would have survived. So I said that we cannot change destiny. Everyone who is born is supposed to die, and when death comes, if you would have stopped him, death would have come in some other way. Then there were like many family members, some sisters, grandmother, mother and all. So then he asked, okay, anybody else wants to ask something? So one of the sisters asked, like, how God can be so cruel? I know my brother was not like a devotee of Lord. He used to enjoy, but he had not committed so much sins that God should have taken him. So I explained that there are laws of karma and something we do in previous life, we get the mature reaction now. So that's why, like, sometimes we see good people, they also face bad situations in life. And like this, things were going on. And then they felt satisfied and they said, how we can help him? So I said, every opportunity is a chance for us, every occasion is a chance for us, whether we lament or whether we come closer to God. So I said, like, we have Shraddha ceremony in which, first thing I told them that your son is not dead. I mean, he is spirit soul. So maybe he is not with you, but maybe somewhere else. So if you pray to Krishna, and that benefit will go to him. So like we have Shraddha ceremony, we offer food to Lord Krishna and then we offer food to the departed ancestors or souls which are related in our family. So I said, instead of doing it once in a while, why don't do it every day? Whatever you cook, you offer to Krishna and then you offer that Mahaprasad to you, your departed son. And then you chant Hare Krishna and that benefit will go to your son, like Prahlad Maharaj. He became devotee, his 21 generations were liberated. So they gave, I was thinking I'm giving them some hope. But then one of the daughters said, like, what you're saying is making sense, but it cannot bring relief to the trauma which is there in our mother's heart. Then I looked at that lady, typical Indian housewife, and all through the conversation she was silently just crying. So I said, I agree, we cannot, mother's heart is very soft. Her love is the highest, at least in this material world. So like this we departed. So recently also His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was telling in his classes in this past time and also during last year's terrorist attack in Bombay. So Krishna describes this world as Dukhalay Ashashvatam, a place full of miseries. So he said it's not just uncomfort or just lack of happiness, but this is a place of misery, full-fledged misery. And it is designed to give misery at every step. It's not that once in a while we'll get some shock. And there is no place in this world which you can say is either free of natural calamities. There is no race, no civilization which has never been attacked, which has seen peace and security all the time. And no person can say that he has always been happy. So there are problems everywhere. So then what is the situation, solution for us? So the solution is not that we try to make our own endeavors and try to come out of all the problems which we are facing. Because like Gajendra's pastime, so very beautifully it is illustrated, he had an elephant body. So when the crocodile caught him, although he had like huge army of relatives, wives, children, friends, nobody could pull him back. Similarly, we can have certain situations in our life when nobody can help us. Like people, they leave their homes, come to the hostels. They may be belonging to very rich families. Like I know my classmates belong to very rich families, were very strong in their native place. But somebody comes and beats them. Nobody can come and protect. And like somebody may be highly educated, but diseases can come. They don't wait for your degree or don't wait for your money power. Somebody's traveling, there can be accident. People who were dining in Taj or Oberoi during those terrorist attacks, they were the rich and famous people. But terrorists didn't ask them for their qualification, just came and shot. So we should understand that our endeavors and our efforts, money, bank balance, all these things, family, resources, they are like valuable soldiers. They won't help us when we actually need. So Krishna is the only person, God is the only person who will be there when we need Him in the most difficult situations. So He is called Suhrit, the best friend. He is always there whenever we call Him. So He came in the past when Draupadi she was in desperate situations 2 times in her lives, many times even later also. But Krishna was there to help. We can see in our life, whenever we are in dangers and in problems, Krishna is always there. So this I'll conclude later after I cover the relationship between demigods as has been discussed in this purport. So normally people say that Vedic religion or Vedic path has like many, it's like pantheistic or having so many gods. So it's not like that. It's itself, in fact, the Vedic religion gives you a very wide choice. Like different natures of people are there. So instead of going here and there, person is not feeling attracted to Krishna, then there is somebody else you can become attached to and gradually become purified and come to Krishna. I know of many people who are initially devotees of Shiva, but later on became devotees of Krishna and became very pakka devotees. So why do people worship demigods? So Gita describes it's because of materialistic desires, because demigods, they quickly fulfill whatever we ask for. And people who are desperate for those things, they go to demigods. And Krishna is little slow. Like Lord Chaitanya says, when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes the internal reasons why Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya, so he says that when people pray to Krishna, Krishna says that Ami Vigya, I'm intelligent, so I don't immediately give them their material desires, but I try to purify them. So that is the situation. So, but Bhagavatam also describes and that who are the people who come to Krishna. So it is described in 1st canto, 2nd chapter, 26th verse. Mumukshva ghora rupan hitva bhupati natha narayan kalha shanta bhajanti hi anasunva suyavah. Like devotees of the Lord, they are pure hearted and they are non-envious. Anusuyavah. So they want liberation. Mumukshva. So only those people, they worship Krishna, because Krishna only can give liberation. No other demigod can grant liberation from this bondage of birth and death. So they worship Krishna and they reject ghora rupan, the horrible and ghastly forms of demigods, and worship the all beautiful form of Lord Vishnu, Narayan Kala, and his plenary portions. So this is the reason why people, they come worship demigods, and those who want higher, they come to Krishna. So even demigods understand that Krishna is superior. So in 10th canto, it is described when Mother Devaki, she was having Krishna in her womb. So all the demigods, they came to pray to him. And they had very beautiful prayer. They say, Satyavratam satya param tri satya, satasya yonim nehitam cha satya, satasya satyam rita satya netram, satyatmakam tvam sharanam prapanna. So 9 times they are mentioning the word satya. So they say, Satyavratam, your vows are perfect and you are also perfect. That's why you never deviate from your vows. So like Krishna vows in Gita that I'll protect my devotees. Kante pradijani name bhakte praneshati. So he never deviates from that. And then they say that whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by everyone. And then three satyam, you are in three phases of creation. Three phases of this material world, and creation, maintenance, destruction, everything is under control of Krishna. And he is the supreme truth. And unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor. And therefore, those who are hypocrites, they cannot come close to you. You are the active principle, the real truth in all the ingredients of creation. And so you are Antaryami. You are equal to all. Your instructions apply to all at all time. You are beginning of truth. And therefore, they say, we offer our obeisance to you and beg for your protection. So even in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, we find that when Sachidevi, she was having the Lord in her womb, all the demigods would come and... it's not mentioned what were their prayers, but she would feel that there are ghosts coming in the house. She would hear bells ringing, but it was like very auspicious, not like some ghostly beings coming and attacking. And also when Lord Chaitanya grew up, at that time, Keshav Kashmiri came to fight with him, and he was a devotee of Mother Saraswati, and she was sitting on his tongue, and he could defeat all the people, all the great scholars in India. But Lord Chaitanya was a young boy and a grammar teacher at that time. And he just defeated him like very mildly, just casually, not even a formal occasion was there. Just a chance meeting by the river, Ganga. And he was very bewildered that how come I am worshipper of Mother Saraswati and some young boy has defeated me. He's not even a big pandit in Navdeep. So Mother Saraswati comes to him and tells that the person who defeated is my supreme lord. So you should go and surrender to him. And also later we see in Simandvip, Mother Parvati, she comes and accepts dust from the Lord's lotus feet into the partition of her hair. And also we have Harihar, which is like combined Lord Shiva and Lord Narayan. Also we have various incidents in Mahabharata. Like Mahabharata was compiled by Ganeshji. And also Vyasdev himself is like Shaktavesh Avatar, empowered incarnation of Lord. He could have himself written Mahabharata. But specifically Lord Ganesh came. So this also shows how demigods cooperate with the supreme purpose of helping the Lord. And also we see in the pastime of Gokarna, at that time Ramana got a benediction from Shiva that if he takes a shivling and places it in Lanka, nobody could defeat him. So all the demigods were like very scared. So then Ganeshji came in the form of a Brahmin boy, and then he told that, okay, I'll hold it for you, can go and answer nature's call. And as soon as Ravan went, he just installed that shivling. In this way, he assisted in Lord Ram's pastime. And also in Brahmavart Puran, there is another version of how Lord Ganesh is born. So this is also confirmed in Shiv Puran. The common story we hear is that Mother Parvati created Ganesh from the cosmetics of her body. So this is normal story, and this version is given in Brahmavart Puran and also confirmed in Shiv Puran. So this is very sweet. So this is actually that after Kartikeya is born, Mother Parvati again had a desire for a son. And at that time, Lord Shiva tells him to worship Krishna. And there is a specific vrat called as Punyak vrat. And he says you worship Krishna and then you will get... And specifically he says you worship him by offering ghee lamp, flowers and sing songs, chanting his holy names. And offer nice bhoga and tulsi. So after this, it was a vrat for one full year. And before the vrat started, Lord Narayan personally, Lord Vishnu came. And he glorifies Krishna to Lord Shiva and Parvati. And says that the annihilation which Lord Shiva brings will have no effect on Golok. And he is very happy that Parvati is doing this vrat. And... After the vrat is over, this is a very detailed pastime, so I'm just summarizing. After the vrat is over, there's a very brilliant globe of effulgence which appears. So at that time, Lord Krishna shows his personal threefold bending form to Mother Parvati, wearing his yellow dhoti, the bluish color of his body, holding flute, playing upon it, the peacock feather. And she's extremely charmed by it. And she immediately prays to Lord that, I want... your expansion as my son. So this explains that Lord Ganesh, he is an expansion of Krishna who was born to Mother Parvati. And this is also confirmed in Samved, which says that there is a stotra on Ganeshji, and one of the stanza is Paramaradhananeva Krishnasya Paramatmana Punyakena Vratneva Yam Prapa Prapati Parvati Sati. This says that Parvati Devi obtained Sri Ganesh as her son after observing a Punyak Vrat consisting of worshipping Lord Krishna, who is a Paramatma in everyone's heart. So also in Sri Krishna Janmakhanda in Brahmavart Puran, there is an episode where Srimati Radharani, she chooses to worship Ganesh, but it mentions that she started worshipping Ganesh who is Putra Tulya, like equivalent to her son. And after she worshipped the deity of Ganesh, she immediately starts speaking and glorifying Srimati Radharani. So there is an entire stotra which is called Ganesh Krit Radha Stotra, in which he glorifies Srimati Radharani. He calls her Vedanaha Jagat Mata Mool Prakritri Ishwari. That she is the mother of all Jagat Mata, the mother of all creation, Mool Prakriti, and everything Vasu emanates from him, all the sages, demigods, they worship Radharani. Then he says, Nishevya mantra devanam jiva janmani janmani bhakta bhavanti durgaya padma padme sudurlabe. He said, somebody, when the living entity in each of his life chants the name of demigods, he achieves devotion to the rear lotus feet of Durga. And then he says, Nishevya mantra shambhoscha jagata karanasya cha tada prapnoti yuvyaho padma padma sudurlabe. When he takes shelter of the mantra of Lord Shambhu, the cause of material world, then he attains your means Radha and Krishna. Initially it mentions Krishna's name. He attains extremely rare lotus feet. And having once possessed them, that pious soul never leaves for a moment, never even for a moment let go of those lotus feet, the rare lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And one who receives both your mantras, that is Radha Krishna mantra, from a Vaishnav guru, and with full devotion, he chants it, he delivers thousands of his generations, and in the end he goes back to Goloka. So actually whatever philosophy we speak to other people, Ganesh himself is speaking to for the benefit of everyone. And after this, Ganesh offers obeisance to Srimati Radharani, Parvati comes and embraces Radharani, and they have sweet discussion. So like this we see that even demigods, they are very much aware that who is the Supreme Lord and whom they should worship. So recently we were in Jagannath Puri, and there was one person, the cousin of Panchanan Prabhu. So he just came to us, he had helped us for some accommodation and other things. So he was telling that how he used to worship different gods in his life. And then he said, finally when I started worshipping Jagannath, he said, I understood that he is God number one. So this was his understanding, he is Devta number one and this is the one I am worshipping. So we should also understand that since all demigods, they are also saying, they are also praying to Lord Krishna as the Supreme. So that's what we have been taught by our acharyas, and that is a perfect understanding. So now I'll again come back to our original topic, first topic. So basically now that we know that who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of whom we should take shelter, we should also be aware that His help is very easily available. Like I sometimes travel in bus party, and that is perfect occasion when we are at like fully at Krishna's mercy. So I remember one event many years back, we had gone to Bharuch. So we had gone twice, and His great Dwarkadishpo's father had helped us a lot at that time. So once we went and we returned, and immediately there was massive floods in Gujarat. So after 15 days we went, and then floods had receded. So we had coordinated with some person for staying facility, but just before we reached Bharuch, we called him. He said, oh, I forgot, I haven't arranged anything. So that night we stayed at Dwarkadishpo's father, but since like we are like huge number, so we decided to shift to the house next day. So next day we were distributing books, and I was sure that that person must have arranged. And Jagannath Prabhu was sitting with me, chanting intensely. And one very high-ranking person came to our table. This is late in the evening, something around 5 o'clock. So he was very happy, took the books. And then he asked me, where are you staying? I said, we have some arrangement. Then he looked. Then again he asked, where are you staying? So I said, we have some arrangement, we are staying at some place. And third time he asked, where are you staying? I said, you ask Swamiji here. So Jagannath Prabhu was like intensely chanting. And he said, Swamiji, Swamiji, and Prabhuji was chanting. So then he came to me, Swamiji to Paramatma mein leen hai. But he is fully absorbed in chanting. So something stuck me. I said, why is asking me like 3-4 times, where are you staying, where are you staying? So I borrowed his mobile. I said, let me call that person who is supposed to make our arrangement. And it's like late in the night, around 6 o'clock, we are about to wind up everything. And I called that person, I said, like, can we come? Have you arranged? He said, second day he forgot. And we were literally on streets. I mean, nothing, nowhere, we had no arrangement. And this guy, he said, okay, wait, I'll come. And then he said, okay, but I can't arrange in our company's guest house because there is some problem. Then he called some big Hindu organization person, and he came, and he was very happy to see us. And these people arranged for a hotel and accommodation for all like 6-7 of us. So I was really surprised, because we were wondering at 7 o'clock we'll wind up, go to that location, find some accommodation. But this person was coming again and again, where are you staying, where are you staying? And somehow Krishna was taking care of everything. So when we are dependent on Krishna, we should be assured that he'll be taking care of us very nicely. So I'll end with one or two quotes from His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. He said that crises, calamities and tragedies, they help us to take shelter of Lord, not in a complacent way, not as a formality, like occasionally come and offer worship, okay, Sunday we come here. But when we are actually into these problems, we are very desperate to take shelter. And what happens when we take shelter? When we accept Lord Krishna as our only shelter, we find comfort, we find hope, we find shelter, and more than that, we find love. That is the thing which we get by taking shelter of Krishna. In most hopeless situations, there is unlimited hope, but only when we take shelter of Krishna. So, this is a lesson which we are getting from this pastime. Krishna is there even to help somebody even in a non-human body. So what to speak of us who are actually dedicated to Krishna and fully surrendering our lives and trying to access His mercy through the mercy of devotees. So we should be having faith that Krishna will protect us, and we shouldn't wait for crisis and calamities to take His shelter. But even in happy times, good times, bad times, all times, we should take shelter of Krishna. Thank you very much. So, any questions, comments? Jai Granth Sahib Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.